The reading is written in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, and can be found on page 1197 of the Church Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's been an incredible week, isn't it? We first heard the news on Thursday midday, didn't we, that the Queen was having mobility issues still, but that she was comfortable. We don't actually know what that meant, but that the family were gathering. And then come around about tea time, the news she had died. It was a time of, and it still is, a time of shock and sadness. Curiously, a time that brings a nation together as we mark the end of her reign and her life and the beginning of a new reign. And it does also feel like a dislocating time. I don't know whether you've heard the new anthem. And it feels like a new pillow. You know, it's nice to get a new pillow. It's a new pillow. But it doesn't quite feel like it's comfortable yet. It feels like a strange time. But it is also a good time to mark this. And it is a good time to reflect on the Queen's reign in light of her King, the Lord Jesus. And so the theme of my sermon today is one of crowns. So I'm going to show you her most famous crown up on the screen. This is the Imperial State Crown. It is an amazing crown. There are 2,868 diamonds in this crown. There are 17 sapphires, 11 emeralds, 269 pearls, and 4 rubies. Some of the gems are so famous, they have names. I love that idea. You know, Katie's engagement ring, we haven't given it a name to the rock in that. But she's got the Black Prince's ruby, the Stuart sapphire, and I don't know how you pronounce this, but the Cullinan diamond, the second, it was cut from the largest diamond found at the time. It weighs 1 kilogram. The Queen once said that when she wears it, she has to bring her notes up to in front of her face, because if she bends her neck down, she worries her neck will break. It is a thing of staggering value and majesty. Only the monarch, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the crown jeweller can touch it. No one else has touched this crown. And I think, what a special crown. The weight, it was the crown she wore as she left. She was actually crowned with a different crown. But the weight of that crown, it was placed on her head, must have made such an impression on the young queen, mustn't it? I wonder if it kind of represented to her the weight of responsibility and duty and service she was taking on herself. Certainly before her coronation, on her 21st birthday, in an address to the Commonwealth, she said this: I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join in it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share in it. I wonder if it was that weightiness of the crown and the weightiness of responsibility that led to her years of service. But I actually think it wasn't that crown which explains her life, that made her the queen she was, but the weightiness of another crown, a crown of more glory, more precious, and a greater value, the crown of our Bible reading today, the crown of righteousness. The crown given by a king who would wear a crown himself of no monetary value, but of inestimable spiritual value. The crown of thorns. His crown, through which he would win salvation for the whole world when he died on the cross. He is the one who gives this crown of greater value than this, the crown of righteousness. The crown he will give, we read, to all those who long for his appearance. And so I want us to think about that crown and the Queen's life as an example of how we might prepare to wear that crown. How that crown, the crown of righteousness, might influence our lives to be a bit like hers. I think these verses help us to understand four characteristics of the Queen. The first is her wholehearted service. Look what Paul writes here. I have fought the good fight. I love sport. I love playing sport. But the sport I've always had a sneaky respect for, above all others, is one I've never done. And it's boxing. Now, I know boxing is controversial. But there is something unique about it. And let me give you this example. When I played rugby, if I was feeling a bit tired, I could just lean against the ruck of a maul and pretend I was pushing. When I was rowing and feeling like my heart was going to give away, I could just take a few light strokes and nobody would really... Well, at least they might notice the loss of power in the boat, but they wouldn't know it was me. So it was perfect. You didn't need to give your all. But it strikes me when you step into a boxing ring, you have no choice. You have to give your all. Or if you're a Ukrainian soldier who's trying to seize back your country's land... You can't think, I'll take it a bit easy today. You have to give your all. You have to live and serve as if your life depended on it. You can't soft pedal. But of course, if you're living for the crown of righteousness, you wouldn't soft pedal, would you? Your whole life would be that longing for that crown. You're not going to take it easy. And that's what I've been struck by in some of the testimonies to the Queen, that she gave her all in every situation. Every part of her energy, but also increasingly every part of her character. I love the fact that towards the end of her reign, we got to see more of the humour that individuals got to meet when they met her in person. The whole opening ceremony of the Olympics and the scene with James Bond or that fantastic tea party with Paddington. To be honest, we'd all like a tea party with Paddington, wouldn't we? Let's be honest, if we had the opportunity. Wholehearted service, but also lifelong service. It isn't just fighting the good fight. It is also, Paul says, I have finished the race. In fact, earlier, just the verse earlier, we had read, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. A drink offering in Paul's background, he was thinking of the temple. And you would sacrifice an animal as your worship to the Lord. You choose your very best animal. And then you take your drink offering, which were maybe held in a flask or a cup, and you would pour it like a fragrant garnish on the sacrifice. But you wouldn't just pour half of it. You'd pour it all until the last drop had gone down. And Paul said that's his life. And it really was. Here he is writing in prison at the end of his life to Timothy. He is in prison because of his service to the Lord. He has given his all right to the end. He is going to finish the race well. And I think that's been the mark of the Queen, hasn't it? She didn't retire. Have you thought about that? It's a challenge to us who are looking forward to retirement, or some of us who are sitting comfortably in retirement. She didn't retire. She pushed right through to the end. And she did that even though she could do less and less. I'm getting older and my powers are diminishing. And sometimes I'm trying to think, well, what's the point? I can't do what I used to do when I was younger. That didn't stop her. With what she had left, she gave her all right to the end. I always felt that the messages from Buckingham Palace about how she's going to have to cancel an engagement were apologetic. I think she was in her 90s. She doesn't need to apologise. She gave her all. She didn't allow declining strength as an excuse to stop. And so it was with Paul. He gave his all right to the end. Lifelong service. But also thirdly, consistent service. Paul says, I have kept the faith. He knew that that was all that mattered. Paul could be all things to all people because he was rooted in something which never changed. The truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He held tightly to that and he wouldn't be moved. Paul would dress however people want him to dress. He would eat whatever people want him to eat. But he always held to the truth about Jesus. And I think we've all been struck by how influential the Queen's faith was in her life. And how that became actually clearer and clearer over the years, especially in her Christmas addresses. And that is a really powerful thing, isn't it? Because we're in a culture which worships what is new. And so we find ourselves being swayed by every new philosophy. Politicians espouse one thing one day and another thing another day. Other leaders do the same. Our head teachers, everyone. And so not just our leaders, but our leadership has lost its way. That's partly because the overwhelming nature of the task, the sense of powerlessness you have as a leader, and the pressure to conform to practical politics mean that they have sacrificed their cause and their core. Or even worse, we know of the hypocrisy of leaders who say one thing, who tell those over whom they lead to do one thing, but they then do something else. Not so when you keep the faith. Isn't that? The Queen helped us, like Paul, to understand what it means to work towards the crown of salvation. Those three things, wholehearted service, lifelong service, and consistent service. But here's the interesting thing. On its own, those three are not good news. Let me give you an example. I went to a leadership course, and they asked us, what's your definition of integrity? And some people came out with a very sort of concise definition. They said it's when the outside is the same as the inside. When what people see in public is the same as what's true in private. And then other people wanted more illustrative or imaginative things. Like a Brighton Rock, where the word goes all the way through. If you don't know what Brighton Rock is, go to Brighton and you'll see it. But don't eat it because it's foul. And but then somebody pointed out this. The person leading the course said this. Yes, but Hitler scores very highly on that. Striking that, isn't it? You could say about these three things, wholehearted service, lifelong service, and consistent service is not enough. It's who you are serving and what you are serving for that makes the difference. Notice here, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. And not just I have kept faith, I have kept the faith. And there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. The great thing about Paul wasn't just that he was wholehearted, not just that he was consistent, not just that he was lifelong, but he was lifelong in the right direction. He fought the good fight. He finished the race to the right destination. He kept the faith. It was focused on the Lord, the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus. And I believe that is what the Queen sought to do. I think it must be hard to stay humble when there is such ceremony everywhere you go. Have you ever thought about that? And yet that seems to be true of Her Majesty. People who met her spoke of how she treated everyone the same, whatever their status. And that she had an ability to put people at ease when they were struggling, to give them comfort when they needed it. But actually, that should be the mark of the one who longs for the crown from the King of Kings, the servant king, the king who would give his life in humility for the salvation of his people, for you and me. Those people are looking forward to when the king returns. They know that earthly glory and importance is just a morning mist in a desert land. It will be burnt away at the dawn when the king returns. They know that the only judgment on their life is not the judgment of the ballot box, not the judgment of social media, not the judgment of the press, not even the judgment of you and me. It is the judgment of the righteous judge of verse 8. That is the crown that Paul lived for. I believe that was the crown the queen lived for. I don't know whether these verses were important to her, whether she even knew them. But I do know that the faith that this word speaks of, God's word speaks of, speaks of these characteristics throughout all of it, because they speak of the Lord Jesus and his life. He is the one who fought the good fight. He is the one who truly finished the race, and he was the one who kept the faith even when he was tempted to give it up in the Garden of Gethsemane and then in the temptation in the wilderness. But here's the thing. That crown is glorious. But the crown of righteousness that the queen lived for, which is infinitely more glorious, is a crown that you and I can get. There will come a day when those who've longed for the Lord Jesus appearing will wear a crown of greater glory and majesty than the imperial state crown. And they will be surrounded with glory and majesty, which far exceeds the pageantry of these sceptred isles. That is the crown of righteousness we can live for. So I think our challenge today is, as we look at all the pomp and ceremony, and as we see our new king crowned, that we always think, whenever we see that crown, that is an impressive crown. The Americans don't have a crown like that. But I'm living for a way, way, way better crown. And so, with me today, will you commit to fighting the good fight? Not holding back, but giving your all? It's worth it. Don't worry about what others will say about your life. Think of the one who wears the crown of thorns, who will place that crown on your head and say, that's worth giving my all for. With me, will you finish the race? Well, at the end of your life, will you say, I poured it out for you? There is no such thing as retirement for those who live for that crown. I hope for me that the shift from work to the end of paid work will see no drop off in my service. Maybe even an acceleration. I don't want Jesus to say to me, well done, David, in the first 2/3 of your race. But why did you stop running? And I'll say, well, Lord, my legs were aching. My lungs weren't working so well. He said, I didn't ask you to finish fast. I asked you to give your all right to the end. We've got some great examples of St. Patrick's Parish. And one old name is Martin Hayward. He said to me the other day, he said, I made it my, actually I can think of somebody else who I won't name, but both said something similar. Martin said, I made it my aim to have a ministry of yes. If our masters do something, I will say yes. Somebody else I asked to do something, and they said, they'd been asked to do something, and said, well, we didn't really want to do it, but we made it our principle that unless we have a good reason, we will always say yes. They are running. I don't think they're running as fast as they did when they were in their 20s and 30s. I'm certainly not. But they're running as fast as they can, right to the end. Often in a race at the end, especially if I misjudged it, I would be getting slower, but I'd still give every moment to every stroke because I wanted to finish the race and keep the faith hold tightly to the faith that is God's, that is in containing God's word, that God's word is. Don't let go of it. Let it be, but don't just hold on to it like as a, this is what I believe. Let it be precious to you, the thing that defines you, the thing that guides you, the thing that means that your public life is the same as your private life. Your actions are the same as your heart. Keep the faith. And do it because your eyes are fixed actually not on the crown of righteousness, but on the one who will place it on your head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you very much for the Queen, as we've already said. We thank you, though, most of all, for the ways in which she gave us a glimpse of you. And we thank you that every time we see the pomp and majesty in memories of her life, we can think that, incredibly, we will share in a far greater pomp and glory, not just as spectators, but as those who are crowned. Lord, when it comes to the coronation service, may you give us a glimpse that one day we will go through a service like that, but of far greater glory. Amen.